to pass to us. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Jude, Jude chapter 1 verse 3. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude anyway. Jude verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was undelivered unto the saints. Shall we pray? Our Lord and our God, we thank you for blessing us since we began this fellowship today. Father, we are going to another session of sharing your word. Come and bless us immensely in the name of Jesus. Open our understanding, open our hearts to understand and receive your word. Any form of distraction, weakness, or sleep that could distract anybody, Lord, take it away in Jesus' name. Father, let your spirit come and speak through your vessel this afternoon. Take absolute control, Lord, in Jesus' name. Are we together? Jude 1 verse 3 says, earnestly contend for the faith. The topic of my exhortation this afternoon is the contending bride. The contending bride. This is the time to know who is spiritual and who is carnal. Anybody that switches off now and starts sleeping or starts Facebook and WhatsApp while the sermon is going on, you should know where the person belongs. He's not a bride, he's a concubine. The bride now, this is the most important part of the service for you. So pay full attention. The contending bride. Are we together? The contending bride. One of the ministries given to the bride of Christ is the ministry to contend for the word of God. The ministry to contend for the faith. When we say the faith, we are talking of the true word of God, the truth, the true revelation of God's word. To contend for the faith is to defend the faith. It is part of the ministry of the bride. We are called to contend for the faith. Why is this necessary? Mankind has an attitude of rebelling against God's word. Mankind has an attitude of departing from God's word. Mankind has an attitude of departing from the truth. Right from the Garden of Eden, when God says, "Hey, this is my word, this is my plan, this is my program," there is something in unconverted man, there is something in all regenerated mankind to always depart from the faith. Do you know that historically, even if we should say, let's come out of the Bible, historically, secular history, worldly history has proved that there was a time that the whole world worshipped one God. I'm not talking of Bible now, I'm talking of secular history. There was a time, they would say the whole world was monotheist. Monotheism is the worship of one God. They'll tell you there was a time that the whole world worshipped one God. But we see the origin in the Bible. After the flood, the whole world was of one language. They all worshipped the one true God. It's either they worship him truthfully or they don't worship him. But there was nothing like idolatry. But soon after that, we saw mankind rebelling from the ways of God again. The Bible speaks in Genesis 10 of Nimrod. He said he was a mighty man before the Lord. What was Nimrod do? Nimrod was the first to turn mankind away from the worship of God and to establish idolatry. And today, almost in every society, there are gods that are worshipped. There is Ogun, there is Shango, there is Amadioha. Different societies with different gods. In the beginning, it was not so. This is part of the rebellion of mankind. Man is fond of departing from the word of God. The word of God is the plan of God. The word of God is the program of God. It is the agenda of God. It was the word of God that separated light from darkness. Are we together? To walk with God in light means to walk in his word. Praise the living God. But mankind is fond of departing from the word of God. God will give his word. Man will go contrary to it. But God does not relax. He raises contenders. Somebody shout hallelujah. He raises who? Contenders. These contenders are also known as his bride. In every generation, God asks people who stood for his word, who stood for his truth, who contended for him. It is part of the ministry of the bride. Praise the living God. Of course, you know the bride did not start with you and I. When we speak of the bride, we are speaking of from the Garden of Eden, every righteous man and woman whom God has given eternal life is the bride of God, bride of Christ. So all through the scriptures, when people depart from the word of God or depart from God, to depart from God is to depart from his word. Don't get it wrong. To depart from God is to depart from his word. Somebody can be saying God, 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 and yet the person has departed from God simply because the person has departed from the word of God. The word of God, God's sovereignty is tied to his word. In Psalm 138 verse 2, the Bible says what? Thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Because it is the word of God that produces the name of God. Can you see it? For thou hast magnified thy above all thy name. For you to see the importance attached to the word of God. There is nothing Satan fights than the word of God. You saw Prophet Jayola and Sister Marachi discerning us, prophesying to us. Brethren, Satan is not afraid of prophecy. What our gifted brethren, what our ministers just did now, Satan can produce the same. But the only thing Satan cannot produce is the truth. And John 17:17 says what? Thy word is truth. Somebody, are you with me? So the story is that when men depart from God, by departing from his word, God raises people that contend for his word. So all through scriptures, we can see people that contended they stood their ground and defended certain word of God, defended some particular revelation of God's word. God raised people that stood their ground. Anybody that will walk with God will automatically be a contender. You will contend against unbelief. You will contend against make-believe. You will contend against the unbelievers. Those that don't believe in your God or in the way you serve your God. Then you also contend against the make-believers. Those that call upon the same God with you, but not according to truth. It is the ministry of the bride to contend. We are going to see examples of brethren that contended. For example, Abel was a contender. Are we together? If you are with me, shout amen. Abel was a contender in his generation. I was glad that Pastor spoke a little about Abel this morning. Abel contended for the fact that there is the acceptable sacrifice to God. He contended to the facts, to the truth, that God does not accept all sacrifices. Are we together? The sacrifice of Cain and Abel is not offering time, blessing time. Those days in children's church, they will teach us God rejected the sacrifice of Cain because Cain brought something small. But because the Bible said Abel brought of the fatlings, it was because Abel's offering was big. So if your mommy gave you 20 naira and you're coming to give 5 naira for offering, God will reject your sacrifice. Why not give the 20 naira? That is not the meaning. The lesson in the story of Cain and Abel is to let you know that not every sacrifice is acceptable to God. What is the sacrifice we are talking of? We are talking of how you walk with God, how you serve God. It is not everybody that professes to be a Christian that is right before God. When the trumpet sounds and the curtain of life is drawn, there are many churchgoers. There are many people that prayed in the name of Jesus. There are many people that did morning devotion every day in Jesus' name that will not enter heaven. Why? The story of Cain and Abel teaches us so. That was what Abel contended for. that man, if you are going to serve God, it is not enough that you serve him. Anybody that is called to serve God, I want to worship God, I want to serve God. The first and primary question you should ask is, how can I serve God acceptably? Are we together? How should I serve God acceptably? And we see certain examples in the Bible. That is what the story of Abel and Cain teaches us. Cain brought his sacrifice, Abel brought his own. The Bible says God did not have respect unto the sacrifice of Cain, but God had respect unto the sacrifice of Abel, because he did it by what? Revelation. Abel contended for the word of God. He served God by faith, by revelation. He stood on the truth that there is an acceptable way to God. So when you see us in a church like this shouting, except you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, you will not go to heaven. Some people like to say, you na too do. Now only you na they go heaven. It is not politics, it is revelation. We are not talking because we want everybody to come and be a member of Bride Assembly. I gave my life to Christ in Redeem, not in Bride Assembly Church. We are not talking because we are not condemning other churches. That is what you don't know. We are telling you that there is the right way to serve God. There is the formula for salvation. It is not every service that God will accept. Isn't that what we learn in the story of David? He brought the ark in his own way, with his own style. The Bible said God made a breach. Somebody died, paid with his own blood. That was when David knew that, to walk with God is not enough. If I will walk acceptably, I must ask him, how should I walk with you? Somebody, if you are with me, shout hallelujah. So Abel contended in his generation to that truth. He contended for that truth. That if you are going to walk with God, you must walk with him acceptably. Praise the living God. Why do you think in a church like this, we go to the extent of telling you how to even dress before God? There is no carnal man, no normal man that will not like to see a woman dressed in a sexy manner. Isn't that why anytime women are passing, carnal men turn their heads? So it is sweet to the flesh. But we are telling you that even up to the extent of dressing, there is the acceptable way to dress for a Christian. You can't come to God anyhow. That is what Abel contended for. Abel stands as the bride of Christ. You can't approach God anyhow. For you to be acceptable before him is not to call his name. It's to come according to the way he has provided. Another contender that contended in his generation was Abraham. Let's quickly look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 8. Abraham contended in his generation. What did he contend for? See the commentary, the divine commentary about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Go to verse, the same Hebrews 11. Go to verse 14 and verse 15. What Abraham contended for in his generation. Everything that these people contended for is still relevant to the bride today. We are to learn from them. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, verse 16, that is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. Abraham contended that if you will walk with God, then you must be a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth. Are we together? When God calls you to walk with him for salvation, when God calls you to walk with him because he wants to take you to heaven, the call of God demands that you forsake, listen to me, that you forsake all worldly and earthly citizenship and take hold of the heavenly citizenship. Are we together? The call of God demands that you let go of all earthly and worldly citizenship and take hold of the heavenly citizenship. So when you ask me, Brother Lumide, where are you from? I should be able to tell you I'm a citizen of heaven. Now, it is not by mouth, it is by lifestyle. Is somebody with me? The best nouns that Apostle Peter could use to describe a Christian, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11. See the best description he gave to Christians. He says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as what? Strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims. Do you know the meaning of these words? If you say you are a true Christian, this is what you are supposed to be. You are supposed to be a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. How can you say you are a stranger and a pilgrim when the tradition of your fathers is still holding you bound? On Friday vigil, Pastor was telling us how some Christians cannot marry some certain set of people because they are Osu or because they are not from that tribe. That shows you have not forsaken your worldly citizenship. If you are still seeing me as that Yoruba India la, Abia, do they say it? India la. Something is wrong with you. You don't yet know what it means to be a Christian. In Colossians 1:13, he said he has delivered up. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. And has what? Translated us. Moved us into another kingdom. That kingdom, we are going there. So when you see me walking on the earth, you are seeing a stranger and a pilgrim. How do you know who is a stranger? If I go to Imo State or Anambra State, for example, and everybody is speaking Igbo, and maybe I'm walking and they're speaking Igbo to me, maybe what they're saying is come and I'm going, and they're asking me maybe something in Igbo and I don't know what to answer, what will you say? This is who? That means the language of a Christian is supposed to be different. Strangers and pilgrims is not in mouth. Are we together? If I go to a core Eastern state or society or a core Northern society and I wear an ancient Yoruba attire, you will quickly be able to spot me out that this is not our culture, this is not our tradition. This person is who? Only a stranger. Hey, Christians! The Bible says we are strangers and pilgrims. This was what Abraham contended for. When God calls you, as he called Abraham, the call of Abraham cost him his father's house, his kindred, and his land of origin. Genesis chapter 12 verse 1. Let's read it. It's necessary we know who we are because many of us don't even know what it means to be Christian. You think it's to shout fire every enemy and pray. That does not guarantee you heaven at all. You can pray and pray and pray. Send fire to your father's house and your mother's house. Do deliverance. And still not make heaven. Going to heaven is an entirely different game. Genesis 12 verse 1 and 2. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, see the call of Abraham. Get thee out of where? Because God is calling a man. out of thy country, number one. Number two, out of who? Thy kindred. Number three, from where? Thy father's house. Hey, unto a land I will show you. It is a type for us. When God has called you to take you to heaven, He has called you out of every tradition and system of man. They looked at Jesus in a crusade. They said, Master Jesus, your mother and your brethren are waiting outside to speak with you. Jesus looked back at them. He said, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Anyone that does the will of God is my mother and my brethren. We are strangers and pilgrims. God has called us to leave every tradition and system of man. People are supposed to look at us and they'll be like, who are these people? Why are you so odd? That was what Abraham contended for. They might have looked at Abraham and said, this man, you are mad. You left your father's house, you left everything. You have the money to start a society and you just became a nomad, a wanderer, moving up and down because of one heaven that you say God has showed you. Abraham was contending to that truth. When God calls you for salvation, He has called you for separation. We can't be like the world. We cannot behave like the world. We cannot live like the world. We are strangers and pilgrims. That was what Abraham contended for in his own generation. Somebody shout hallelujah. That was what he contended for. Whoever we go to heaven, God has called you forth to become a stranger. A stranger is never comfortable in a strange land. A stranger is always desirous of when will I go home. What of a pilgrim? A pilgrim is a traveler. So when we sing, this world is not my home, many of us only sing it from our mouth, not from our hearts. What portrays in your life that this world is not your home? What portrays in your conduct that this world is not your home? Bride of Christ, we are called to contend for this truth that if you will go to heaven, you must be a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth. Let's move on. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation. Conversation there is lifestyle. Received by what? Tradition from your fathers. Can you see it? He calls it a vain life. We are called to contend to that. That when you will follow God to go to heaven, you become a stranger on the earth. Many of us have not come to this estate in our walk with God. We must get to the estate where we are completely odd to the world. Where we are completely odd in your office, in your neighborhood, they should know that there is something about you. And what is about you is not shouting fire, fire, any power. No. They should know that this man, wait till they do this one. You should be a wonder to people because you have heaven in focus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Another person that contended in his generation was Joseph. Joseph, out of envy, was sold by his brother. He was sent into a strange land also and became a captive, a slave in a strange land. He was in a strange land and he served his master with so much faithfulness. His master promoted him and left nothing in his hand. Of a sudden, the master's wife began to eye Joseph. She started lusting after him. But Joseph contended for one truth. That if a man will walk with God, he must overcome the works of the flesh. The Bible says Potiphar was the governor of Egypt. After Pharaoh, the second in command is who? Potiphar. Let's imagine how beautiful the wife of Potiphar will be. I don't want to believe it's one old woman that was offering herself to Joseph. I believe it's Miss Egypt. If there's anybody that will be finer than Potiphar's wife, it should be the wife of Pharaoh. So we are talking of a Miss Universe coming after a young man, helpless man in a strange land. Joseph, lie with me. Joseph said, no. She changed it again. Okay, don't lie with me. Be with me. Joseph said, no. Praise the living God. He contended to the facts that if you will walk with God, you must overcome the works of the flesh. Don't think Joseph was an iron man. Do you know Joseph did not have the Holy Ghost? He was not born again. Eh? I once was dead, but now I live. He was not born again. So he was not an iron man. That the woman had offered herself to him and he was not moved is a lie. Joseph only stood for the fact that when you walk with God acceptably, you must overcome the works of the flesh. The bride of Christ must become contenders like Joseph. Praise God. This generation is rocked with so much immorality. The emblem, the flag that they are waving in this generation is immorality. The whole entertainment of the world is what? Immoral. The music, the movies, everything immoral. And the most painful part of it is that the bride of Christ are not contending against this immorality. Many of us are bowing down to the goddess of immorality. Everything in the world today is about sex, sex, sex. To the extent they can do a show and it's all about sex. There's a series I knew those days, Sex and the City. That's the title of the movie, Sex and the City. There was another one, Desperate Housewives. Today there's Big Brother. And everything is sex. Now, that is the world. But many people in the church have become victims of this sex thing. You had me find a Christian brother and sister who are courting, preparing to get married, who have not fornicated in this generation. You hardly find. You hardly find a man, married man, Bible-carrying Christian. Of course, in this church, we don't expect that such will be happening. Who is not fornicating, committing adultery outside? Talk about the youth. That one is completely gone. Completely gone. I used to tell parents, you think putting your children inside and monitoring their movement, you think they are safe? In this generation, it is only God that can save youth. No strict parent can save a youth. No strict father or mother can save it. It is just God. So do all you can to push them in the way of the Lord. But Joseph contended that no, the whole world might be doing it. It is such a big opportunity that this woman is giving herself to me. But no, I am a stranger in a strange land. This is not part of the culture of Zion. This is not part of the tradition of heaven. I will not bow to this woman. You think it was easy? It cost Joseph imprisonment. It cost Joseph imprisonment for standing for what is right. But in this generation, just let somebody offer herself to you. Brother will look left, look right. I will take my chances. After, he's a merciful God. After all, I will ask God for mercy. Christians, let's stand out, bride of Christ, and contend against this nonsense going on. Let us stop flirting with our languages. Let us be holy in our conduct. Stop sending somebody you have not married to a love message. Stand against immorality. Turn against pornography and masturbation. Contend against it. Many people, workers in the church, but immoral in the secret. If you are a bride of Christ, you will contend against it. Joseph did in his own generation. Are we together? The contending bride. You cannot serve God and serve immorality. It is not possible. You cannot serve God and serve immorality. If you are going to walk with God, the first step is what? Repent. You must turn away from it. And stop giving excuses. I've been praying for the Holy Ghost. I've been asking God to take. There is condition for receiving Holy Ghost. The condition is repentance. Father, please give me the Holy Ghost so that I will stop fornicating. The condition to receiving the Holy Ghost is repentance. If you turn away from it, God will come and empower you so that you not go back to it. Wake up, bride of Christ. We are called to contend. The whole world is immoral, but the bride of Christ will contend against that immorality. We will stand as Joseph stood and say, no. No. I'm not going to take a woman to the bed whom I've not married. I'm not going to turn aside to another man, another woman who is not my spouse. I'm not going to be addicted to pornography. I will not secretly watch pornography or secretly masturbate. That is the contending bride. If God will allow a prophet to start talking, there are many fornicators in the church. Many. Brother and sister have not married. They are living together. You are going to spend the night in a brother's house that has not married you. You are not like Joseph. You are not contending. You are bowing to it. Let's move on. Time is not on my side. Another contender in their generation is a group of young boys called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were also slaves in captivity in a strange land. In fact, the enemies changed their identity up to the extent of changing their name. Hope you know the real name is not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Before you give your child Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, know the meaning. They are not good names. I know we give our children those names because of the character of those men. They are names associated with the idolatry of Babylon. Some of us don't know. That's why we say study. It's only Daniel that we used to call Daniel his original name. They changed Daniel's name also to what? Belshazzar. And they changed the name of the other three Hebrew children to idolatrous names. The purpose was to change, to make them forget their identity, to make them forget where they are coming from, so that they'll be blended into the system of Babylon. But they did not succeed. They first stood. They said they were not going to defile themselves with the king's meat. They were not going to enjoy the dainties of Babylon. They stood out. They contended to the fact. I'm saying it and I'll keep saying it. Christians are called to be separate. Don't just add Christianity to your title. Something ought to have happened since you came across Christ. Somebody said, the things I used to do, I do them no more. Glad day I was born again. Glad day I was born again. Glad day I was born again. I think I've forgotten that song. The things I used to do, the places I used to go. Because something happened when you come across Christ. I see Christians today and there is no difference between a non-Christian and a Christian. We talk like them. We dress like them. We behave like them. We do business like them. In your office, you also cut corners and set trap like the unbeliever. In your place of business, you also lie, falsify things so that you can make more profit. What makes you different from a non-Christian? When we say content, it is to stand out. Everybody in my line, we bring China and call it Germany and Japan. That is how they are selling it. If you don't join them, they will cast you out. You'll be cast out. You'll be left alone. You might not even make sales. The standing out of Abraham made him to dwell in tents when he could have dwelt in palace. The contention of Joseph, it cost him imprisonment. If you are also going to contend for the faith, it will cost you something. You might lose that business and not make gain because you are standing for the truth. That is what it means to contend. You might be denied promotion in your office because you are not joining them to do the nonsense they are doing. That is what it means to contend. This is the generation, may God forgive all of us, where parents will do special center for their children. Special center for WAEC, special center for JAM. And then they will come to the church. I want to thank the Lord for granting my child admission. Is it really God that gave that child admission? Examination malpractice gave that child admission, not God. The contending bride. It is a necessity. Necessity is laid upon us. We must contend for the faith. We must contend for the truth. We must contend for the right ways of God. Are we together? Finally, about those three children, the Hebrew boys. They did not bow. They still stood out. Then one day, the wicked king erected an image and said, everybody must bow to this image or you will be burnt. These three boys stood out. What did they contend for? They contended, the Bible says what? They said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter, O Nebuchadnezzar. We will not bow to your image. Number one, the God we serve is able to deliver us. Now, it is enough. Of course, when you know that God will deliver you, God has told you, don't worry, don't bow, I'll deliver you. You are okay now. You have assurance. You can even do shakalada and nothing will happen. God has spoken to me. God did not speak to these children. No. They did not know that they will come out alive. They said, the number two statement they made was, even if our God will not deliver us, we will not bow. That is what they contended for. They contended to the fact that if you will follow God, you must have the faith, the mindset of, if I perish, I perish. If I die, I die. Many of us only want to serve God with ease. Our serving God, most of us in this generation, is not sacrificial at all. It doesn't cost us anything. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. You must have the mindset that if following God will cost me my life, so be it. That is what they contended for. Hey, the contending bride. That is what they contended for. Whatever may come my way, my life is in your hands. When we talk about them, we like to talk about the fact that a fourth man appeared in the fire. What if the fourth man did not appear in the fire? Are you going to say they are not children of God? God was rejoicing when Lazarus died and came to Abraham's bosom. Couldn't the same God have changed the condition of Lazarus? But the lesson there is that in whatever condition, I will serve my God. That's the lesson. Brethren, we are called to contend for the faith like these three Hebrew boys. Whatever it is that will come my way, whatever it is that will come our way, we will not bow to the gods of this world. We will not bow to the gods of this world. We will stand only with the Lord. Are we together? If you are with me, shout hallelujah. If you are with me, shout hallelujah. Whatever it is that will come my way, if I will lose the job because I will not give my body to you, sir, take your job. Let me continue my poverty. If I will not become rich because I will not do that thing that is not pleasing before God, go with your wealth. Let me die in my poverty. That is what it means to contend. Let's stop this bread and butter Christianity. Where you think evidence that God is with you is because you are profiting. It's not true. The 20 richest people in the world are not Christians. The Bible says we are in this world but not of this world. We are strangers. In 1 John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the pride of the life, and the lust of the eye. He said, all these are not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This is what we are called to contend for. What about Job? Job was also a contender. What happened to Job? I doubt if it can, if God will permit it to happen to any other person in this generation. In one day, a man lost all his children. In one day, all his resources wiped out. Then he was left alone. Job chapter 1 verse 20. He was also a contender. Let's read what Job 1:20 says. Job was a contender. Then Job arose after they brought all the bad news to him. And he rent his clothes and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and cried. Abi, go back to verse 20. Some people are not reading with me. That is how serpents deceives people. It will change what the Bible says and you say amen because you are not opening your eyes to see. Job fell down upon the ground and began to murmur. Be a contender, say no. Job fell down on his ground and began to complain. And began to shout, hey, hey, wo, mugbe, mokeron. Can you see the life of a man? All his children gone, all his resources gone. He fell upon the ground and did what? And worshipped. Verse 21. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked will I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. What happened? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 22. In all this, hey, Job did not sin, neither did he charge God foolishly. God, why? God, why? God said. God said too. He contended to a fact, brethren. He contended to a truth. He contended for the truth that regardless of whatever happens to the child of God, God still remains faithful. That was what Job contended for. He contended to the truth that life is more than material things. Because Job opened his mouth and said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. In the last day, he will stand upon the earth and my eyes will see God. So the revelation of Job was not, I'm following God so that I'll become somebody in my village. This man had gone beyond the things of this life. They had heaven in their mind. Brethren, how serious, how convinced, how passionate are you about heaven? How passionate and convinced are you about heaven? Are you convinced enough to make sure your lifestyle is the heavenly lifestyle? Are you convinced enough to make sure that heaven can rate you good? Everybody, I'm not doing bad now, I'm doing good. I'll go to heaven. Everybody that dies, they'll say transition to glory. Everybody that dies, they'll say transition to glory, call to glory. It's a lie. Everybody that dies, they'll say, may his soul rest in peace. It's a lie. That's why in this church, we say, let the soul rest in hope. Because man might applaud you, but God, may God not deny you in Jesus' name. Job contended for this truth. Amen, brethren. That if you will serve God, be ready to expect both good and evil. In the good times, praise his name. In the bad times, do the same. In everything, give the King of Kings all the thanks. That was what Job contended for. If we come to the New Testament, time will not allow me to take many examples. There was another contender called Simon Peter. In the book of Acts chapter 8 from verse 14, the bride of Christ is supposed to contend like Simon Peter did. When evangelist Philip went to Samaria, he preached the gospel and the whole city received Christ. The Bible says they sent the apostle Peter and John to pray for them so that they would receive the Holy Ghost. And they went there. And they started praying for the people and laying hands. Power. Lay hands on somebody. Start speaking in tongues. This one prophesying. There was power. Before they came, the Bible said there was a sorcerer called Simon. Simon himself believed. Simon did not believe, it was not an unbeliever that said, no, I don't believe Jesus. He was convinced that Jesus was more superior. He believed to the extent of baptizing. He was following Philip, so he was zealous. But all of a sudden, he's seeing another demonstration of power in a higher dimension. People are receiving the Holy Ghost. Simon went to Peter. Apostle Peter, please, take this money. Give me the power. Listen to what he wants. He says, so that anybody I lay my hands on should do what? Should also receive the Holy Ghost like. Let's read it. Acts 8 from verse 14. Now when the apostles which was Jerusalem heard that Samaria received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Verse 15, let's be fast, please. Who when they were come down, pray for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet it was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Then laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may do what? But Peter withstood him and said what? Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Now, verse 21, he says, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right with God. Now, why are we talking about Simon the sorcerer? Brethren, there are many Simon the sorcerers today. Simon only wanted the power. He did not even know the purpose for the power. Hey, I have a ministry. Your ministry is only to gather people for prayer and deliverance and prophecy. You know nothing about the kingdom of God. You don't know the formula. The roadmap to take people to God's kingdom, you don't know it. All you want is power to heal, to deliver. You are a Simon the sorcerer. It's not until you charge people for money. Unknowingly, many of us fall in the same category with this man. There is a mandate. Matthew 10:6. Go and preach the kingdom of heaven. Now, it is not everybody that can preach the kingdom of heaven. Verse 7. It is not everybody. But you might be gifted in seeing. You might be gifted in deliverance. But you don't have the call to preach the kingdom.
Which ministry are you going to set up?
You are seeking for the power, seeking for the power. Because you want to go and set up a ministry so that whoever you lay hands on, him too will be this, so that you too will become a mighty man of God. If you are not called to preach the kingdom of heaven, and you are seeking for power to go and do whatever you want, you are like Simon the sorcerer. You don't have any part in this matter. You know nothing about the salvation of man. You think to pray for somebody in the name of Jesus and he falls down 7 times. That is what Christianity is about. Eh? It is more than that. You are supposed to be a part of a local assembly. Some of us think when we are using our gifts and talents to serve God in a local assembly, you are serving the pastor. No. That is what God expects from you. If you are not called to be a pastor, you must belong to a local assembly. Doing otherwise, with any power you have or you are seeking, makes you Simon the sorcerer. But the bride of Christ in Apostle Peter contended against it. Stood firm and stood his ground. You think the purpose of the gift is to go and open ministry? He said, you don't have a part or lot in this matter. Somebody that had a part in the matter was the evangelist Philip. He played his part in preaching. He knew that there are people that can minister the Holy Ghost. Oh yeah, come. Why did Philip say, no, leave the apostles. Now my ministry will be this. Now me gather these people. It is me. Ministry is not about me. Ministry is about God's program and God's plan. So I see people that say they are part of the bride of Christ. Evangelist Obina and I were just talking this morning when Pastor was preaching. That people will leave here and go and be joining a prophet's ministry and a member of bride assembly. He was just confused. Because you will never hear anything about salvation, or that you will never hear anything about the mysteries of the kingdom. So it's to go and shout fire. That is what you are going to church for. You will shout fire and end up in hell. Fire. You must contend against it. I'm not a politician. I'm speaking by revelation. Stand against such nonsense. Be bold to tell the person, you are not in the due order. I will have no fellowship with you. I will not come to your church, whatever you call a church. Because you are like a man that is walking without the head. The hand of the body may be cut off. The person will still be alive. But when the head is cut off, dead man walking. Apostle Peter contended for this. He said, Simon, though you have been baptized in Jesus' name and you are forsaking sorcery, your heart is not right with God. Go and perish with your money. So the fact that the person is preaching repent, going to the kingdom of heaven is more than preaching repentance. Some of them in their ministries, they will still be telling you, be baptized in Jesus' name. So you think because they're saying water baptism in Jesus' name, or they don't allow anybody with earring enter their church, that means they are right with God. On Facebook yesterday, I saw a sister that was here and she has a ministry. The most painful part is men are under her. And some of the men were also here. May God help me not to call her name. Some of the men were also here. One of them was even a worker in Bright TV. So forget this thing. When we say bride, we are not talking of mouth. If you cannot contend like these examples you are giving, you are not yet a bride of Christ. Like I said earlier, we are contending both against unbelievers and make believers. All these people that don't want to serve God according to his due order, according to his chosen and acceptable way, they are all categorized as make believers. We must contend against them. So they'll send you a message. They know you don't want to come, but they see, let me tell you something. Our God is not an author of confusion.
none of the prophets that left this church, God can never give them a message for me. No matter how much they enter spirit, 7 days, pull my picture, pull my name. Father, what are you saying about this brother? God can never give them a message for me. Why? Because I can never go and meet them. They are cut off from the divine order. I can't have anything with them. God cannot confuse me. Giving them a message for me is as if God is endorsing them. So some of you, they will stay and be telling you they saw vision about you. Which vision are they seeing about you that our prophet cannot see for you in this church? You are confusing yourself. Be moving up and down. I'm not fighting you. I'm only trying to make you know that you are not part of the bride of Christ. So all the prophets, you are only seeing ministers in prayer groups. We have seers. 8 prayer groups in this church. In each prayer group, there will be one person or the other that has a powerful gift of word of knowledge. When we pray, God shows people things. Then God will leave where your heart, where your faith is, and be somebody that's left the church and is doing one personal ministry, as a personal business called ministry, will tell you, I saw this about you. Then your naive self, you also run there. You are confused. God is not an author of confusion. I challenge any of them. You can't see for me. Don't waste your time. You can't. You can't see for me. If you like, tell me, God says the Lord. I'll just look at you and laugh. God is not an author of confusion. He cannot use somebody that you don't have faith in. Especially because you are trying to walk God with God acceptably. He can't use such a person to minister to you. Peter contended against that nonsense and stood for the truth. Bride of Christ, I can give many examples. But we need to close. The bride is a contending bride. There are attributes of God. There are truths of God's word that we are called to contend for. There are errors, carnality, and sins that we are called to contend against. If you say you are part of the bride of Christ, then you have become a contender. And contending is in lifestyle. Contending is in standing out. Contending is in being different. When you enter a place, not because you shouted praise the Lord, not because you shouted Holy Ghost fire, people should know you are different. When the women of this world will dress like Beyonce and Kim Kardashian and open their body, Christian woman be different, cover up. That is what you mean by contending. He's not going to meet them. Apostle Peter said, you should have a reason to answer every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you. Let them first know there's something unique about you. Then when they come to you, I observe you are different in this place. In fact, in this generation, the next thing they start calling you is Pastor, Pastor Mrs. Holy Mary. You are making an impact. That is why they are calling you those names. Continue. Then when they come close, then you can preach the word. It's not to go first and say, repent or perish. Some of us shout, we distribute tracts. When evangelists want to go for a rally, you will let the whole market know that this is my church. But when it comes down to the business, Christian brother, you do the business like the unbeliever. No matter the shout you have shouted, the unbeliever is looking at you. He's not seeing a difference. He's only seeing another packaged unbeliever like him. Another brand. Your own brand, they go church. My own brand, no, they go church. But all of us are sinners. We are called to contend. We are called to contend. In this generation, Christianity has been bastardized. 99% of what is presented as Christianity is false. 99%. Churches everywhere. But heaven is weeping. Because what we call churches today are enterprises of men. But you that said you have caught the revelation, you are called to contend for that revelation. Are we together? There are so many examples I have to give. Even our pastor, Brother Moses Alu, is a contender. You heard some of his examples this morning. He contended to the fact that revelation is progressive. That revelation did not die with William Branham. That if the rapture has not taken place, God is still speaking. And because of that, he has been called an antichrist, cut off from many people. But he's standing his ground. That is a contender. Many people have disassociated themselves from him. Because he said, not everything William Branham said is thus says the Lord. Because he said William Branham is not his absolute. Because he said, as long as the Holy Ghost is still on earth and the bride has not been raptured, God will continue to reveal things to us. That's a contender. If you are not contending for any truth of God's word, you are not a bride of Christ. So stop all these things. You might be a good member of Bride Assembly Church, Lagos. But you are not the bride of Christ if you are not contending. Because the pastor knows you and picks your call whenever you call. Doesn't mean that God approves you. Are we together? The contending bride. Wake up, bride of Christ, and examine yourself. My brother, you are a sign to us. The brother that just fell down. The sign is, the bride of Christ is not to dress on that Esther you are carrying. That is the meaning of what just happened to you. It is part of the contending bride. Where we dress like crazy people, we are not called to be that way. We are called to be different. Our language must be heavenly. Our conduct must be heavenly. The way we do our business must be heavenly. When I come to your house, let me have an heavenly atmosphere, not a Big Brother Niger atmosphere. That is what you play on TV. Nollywood, Bollywood, and everything. We are called to be different from the world. And may God release unto us the contending anointing in Jesus' name. Let us bow our heads and ask God to give us grace. Let's ask the Lord to give us grace. I am called to contend. Father, help me to be a contender. Contending is by my lifestyle. It's not in the words I speak or the church. It's not by coming to church alone. Is by the stand I take, even when I'm not in the church. Make me a contender, Lord.
Talk to the Lord. Don't be the hearer of the word, also be the doer. Tell him, Lord, help me.